This message is a presentation of Pinnacle Baptist Church and the preaching ministry of Pastor Ray McBerry. Other messages like this are available online at pinnaclebaptist.com. The church is located at 2517 High Falls Road in Griffin, Georgia. If you're in the area, we would love for you to visit us this Sunday. Now, here's today's message.
All right, he gave me the thumbs up, so I think that's a good-to-go signal. This morning, we're going to have a standalone Sunday school lesson. We just finished our discipleship training last Sunday morning in Sunday school. And before we start a new study in the Bible, we've got this week and next week. Now, next Sunday morning, we will have our missionaries from our missions conference that will be here in the Sunday school hour. So I did not want to start something and then have to take a week off right after we just started it. So this morning we're going to do something that's just a one-week study, but it is related to some of the things that will be going on during our missions conference, and it's about our missions program and why we do things the way we do them as an independent Baptist church in supporting missionaries. And so, Brother Alex, would you, I know you just sat down, but would you make sure everybody gets one of these? This is a sheet that the preacher put together, so we're going to use it kind of as our study guide this morning. But while Brother Alex is passing that out, I'll go ahead and tell you, you can turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter number 13. What we're going to look at this morning is the biblical pattern for sending missionaries and supporting missionaries. And in particular, I want us to examine the role, the relationship of the missionary and the local church. Because you'll remember, it was to the church that Jesus gave the Great Commission. Thank you, brother. It is to the church that God gives the authority to do the work of the ministry. There are lots of people that like to, perceive themselves as the Lone Ranger, if you would, and they want to go out and do everything on their own. And while every Christian ought to be actively doing things on their own as well as with others, the simple fact is, it is the local church that has the authority of God to do the work of the ministry. So every ministry ought to be under the auspices of, under the umbrella of, under the authority of the local church. And so missions is no different than that, no different in that respect than other things. So this morning we want to see the biblical model for sending and supporting missionaries. And no better place to look than, of course, the law of first mentions that we find in the Bible. The first missionaries that are sent out in the book of Acts, which is a book of history of the early church. And so this morning we're going to start by looking at these first missionaries that were sent out by the church. And then we'll see as we go through what the pattern is in the New Testament for sending and supporting missionaries. Then we're going to do a little bit of comparison as we go through, too, of how we do things at Pinnacle Baptist Church and how Southern Baptist churches support missionaries. Independent Baptists and Southern Baptists do not support missionaries the same way. I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing there are quite a few of you that are just like the preacher, and I grew up as a boy in a Southern Baptist church. But we're not a Southern Baptist church. We're a Southern and a Baptist church, but we're not Southern Baptist. We're an independent Baptist church that just happens to be down here in the South in God's country. And so we do not support missionaries the same way that Southern Baptist churches do. And I have preached a message in the past on the problems with the cooperative program and why we do not follow that model. Why we do not support missionaries through the cooperative program with Southern Baptist churches. But there's a reason that we don't do that. Everything that you and I do, both in our individual lives, in our families, and in our church, ought to be predicated on this book. And so we ought to know what the biblical model is. And to the degree that we're able, we ought to follow the biblical precedents as much as possible. And so that's what we're going to see this morning. So Acts chapter 13, look with me if you would at the first four verses. And verse 1 has some names in there. I thought about getting one of you all to volunteer to read these names. They're a lot of fun to figure out and voice out. I'm going to give it my best shot. Here we go, beginning in verse number 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. All right, so here we have the commissioning of the first missionaries in the New Testament era. And by the way, the first two missionaries, who were the two men that Paul that God called?
Barnabas and Saul,
but Alex is right. He's called Saul here, but it's actually Paul. So Barnabas and Saul are the first two missionaries God called in the church age. And so this morning, that's what we're going to look at. By the way, as we go through here, I want us to be keeping in mind what we're looking for is what is the biblical plan for sending missionaries and supporting missionaries. You know, I'm afraid that in a lot of our churches today, the reason we don't have more people surrendering to the call of missions, a lot of people simply don't have any idea what they would do or how they would go about it if they did feel God had called them in the area of missions. I think in days gone by, our churches did a lot better job of helping people understand, how you would become a missionary than we do today. And one of the things the church ought to do is take the mystery out of these things so that if God were to call somebody out of our church to be a missionary, either here in America on the home front or in the foreign field, that person would know how to go about being a missionary, what the steps are, and what the biblical model is. So, first thing, look at your handout that you have there. We're going to, as I said, use this as a study guide. The first thing, over on the left-hand side of your page, it says, the call. So the first thing is the call of God upon a person's life to be a missionary. No one should be a missionary unless God has called them to be a missionary. It's the same thing with being a pastor or being an evangelist, being a deacon, being, you know, a number of things. The truth is we want men standing, preaching, and teaching the Word of God who have been called by God to that particular office or that particular ministry. I think the problem we have in a lot of churches across America and probably around the world today, we have a lot of people standing in the pulpit preaching on Sunday that are not men called by God to be there. They're there either because they thought it would be a soft, cushy job, which if you pastor the right way, it's not, but they thought it would be an easy job, and so that's what they went into. Or maybe they thought there was a lot of money in it. And I guess if you do it certain ways, there could be money in it. If you do it the right way, I don't think that's usually the case. But I think for maybe a number of reasons, there are people in the pulpit preaching that are there for the wrong reasons. Same thing with missionaries. Nobody should go be a missionary just because they want to go live a life of adventure in a faraway place. That they ought to be called by God to be a missionary. So, look what the Bible says, the New Testament pattern. We just read it in Acts 13, 1 through 4. The Holy Spirit called these men, and by the way, also, the Holy Spirit communicated to the church, not just to those individuals, that He had called them to be missionaries. And then the Holy Spirit also is the one that directed them where to go. Look back in verse number 2, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." So it's the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit, who called them to be missionaries. And then in verse number 4, "So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia." So God's the one that called them, and God's the one that directed them where to go in their service as missionaries. Now, look over to the right of the New Testament pattern there. The Southern Baptist way of doing things is, it's similar but a little different. In the Southern Baptist Cooperative Program for International Missions, the Holy Spirit is still supposed to be the one who calls the individual. We hope that's the case. It's supposed to be the way that it is. And then the International Mission Board of the Cooperative Program determines whether the candidate is approved, and whether, and then once the International Mission Board approves them, then the International Mission Board, interviewing the person, meeting with them, and having other missionaries interview them, the International Mission Board determines the proper job on the field for that missionary and where in the world the missionary needs to go serve. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I've already told you I grew up as a Southern Baptist, spent my entire childhood up till I was about to be a senior in high school going to a Southern Baptist church. I still have Southern Baptist friends. I still have Southern Baptist relatives, family members. I have Southern Baptist preacher friends that I love dearly. But I could not, would not, be a member of a Southern Baptist church or support missionaries through the cooperative program, in part because, as you're going to see, the cooperative program takes much of what is supposed to be the authority and responsibility of the local church and gives it to the International Mission Board of the cooperative program. God did not give the International Mission Board or the cooperative program or the Southern Baptist Convention the authority to approve missionaries. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to approve the missionary. And if a Southern Baptist person goes and they're not approved by the International Mission Board, they would not, as a Southern Baptist, be allowed to go to be a missionary. They have to be approved by the mission board there at the cooperative program. Also, there's nothing biblical about anyone other than the Holy Ghost directing the missionary as to what field to go to. It's certainly okay for a missionary to take input from other pastors, other missionaries that are serving God and trying to give him or her wise counsel. But the fact of the matter is, the Holy Spirit's the one that's supposed to tell that missionary where to go serve. If we're just if we've just got a mission board or a Baptist convention of any sort telling people where they're going to go serve, why, that's kind of the mission board doing something that not only is the church not supposed to be doing it, but the Holy Spirit's the one supposed to be doing it. And so again, it's not following the biblical model as closely as it could be. So now look to the right of that. You see, as independent Baptists, we try to do it as close to the biblical model as possible. First of all, the Holy Spirit calls the individual and then directs the missionary to a field of service. The missionaries that we support here at Pinnacle Baptist Church, they felt that they were called by God to be missionaries, and then they are the ones that sought God's will as to where to go serve on the mission field. Their pastor didn't tell them where they had to go. Whatever mission board is helping get the money to them, didn't tell them, as independent Baptists, where they had to go serve. They might try to answer their questions or help them maybe go live with some other missionaries, visit some other missionaries for a time to see different fields. But it's the Holy Spirit that's supposed to call a person, and it's the Holy Spirit that's supposed to tell a person where to go serve. All right, second thing on our list now is the sending agency. The Holy Spirit calls. Who is it supposed to send? I remember hearing growing up, one preacher said that we had one of the problems we had, as I said before, we had people in the pulpits that shouldn't be in the pulpits. He said it's because mama called and daddy sent. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. God's supposed to call, and for the missionary, the local church is supposed to send them. The local church. And in Acts chapter 13, we just read it was the local church that sent them on their way. We read that the local church laid hands on them, that is, they ordained them to the ministry God had called them to, and then the local church sent them on their way, of course, supporting them as they began their missionary journey. Unfortunately, that's not the way that it happens in the Southern Baptist Missions Program. The cooperative program, they say in their literature, they say on their website, that the local church where the missionary is called out of, it's the sending agency. But I'm just going to be honest with you. In practicality, in the cooperative program, it is not the local church that is the sending agency of the missionaries and the Southern Baptist Convention. It is the International Mission Board that is the sending agency, not the church. You say, preacher, if they say it's the local church, why are you saying it's not the local church? It's because in practicality and in actuality, the things that are supposed to be the responsibilities and roles of the church, the International Mission Board takes those things, and so therefore, just saying the local church is the sending agency doesn't make the local church the sending agency. It's who's doing these things that decides who's the sending agency. And the International Mission Board, as you just saw, and as you're going to see some more, takes on the role that the local church has in the scriptural model, in the biblical model. So even though they say otherwise on their website, your pastor is going to tell you in practicality, as a former Southern Baptist myself, the International Mission Board is the sending agency of Southern Baptist missionaries. Well, then how do we do it in independent Baptist churches? In independent Baptist church, we try to follow the biblical model. The local church is the sending agency. That is, the local church is who is sending the missionary, not only in an official sense, but in the literal, technical, practical sense as well. It is the local church to whom that missionary is going to be accountable for the rest of their service as a missionary. And their local church is obligated not only to support them, but to provide oversight for that missionary. In the Southern Baptist Cooperative Program, it's the International Mission Board that provides that umbrella of oversight, checks up on the missionary, makes sure they're doing what they're supposed to do, pays their bills, sends them money, whereas it's supposed to be the local church and local churches sending and supporting the missionary. The sending agency is the local church. Brother Jim?
The Southern Baptist Church, they don't even know who to send the money to. They send it to a national.
Brother Jim brings up a good point. Southern Baptists don't even really know who all their missionaries are. And perhaps I should have said, given a brief word of this before I even started. Brother Jim, his point brings home the fact I should have described how the Southern Baptist churches support their missionaries. The Southern Baptists encourage all Southern Baptist churches to send in a certain percentage of their income each month to the cooperative program. That's their mission program. And so all the Southern Baptist churches pool their money together, and then their International Mission Board and their home mission board, they divvy out the money to the missionaries that they have approved. The local churches don't approve the missionaries. The International Mission Board approves the missionaries and divvies out the money to who they approve. So the local churches in the Southern Baptist Convention have very, very little actual contact with the missionary themselves. And as Brother Jim well said, they don't really even know who all the missionaries are they're sending money to, which leads to other problems we'll see as we go down through the worksheet here. All right, the third point here, finances. Now, it's local churches that are supposed to support the missionaries. And I have put a verse down here. I'm going to read for you Philippians chapter 4. You all already know it's my favorite chapter in the New Testament. But in Philippians 4, verses 15 and 16, listen to what Paul said to the church at Philippi. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, that is the early history of the church, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Paul is saying that, he's telling us here that the church at Philippi supported him. Now, was the church at Philippi his sending church? No, that was the church back at Antioch. And the church at Antioch had helped support him also, especially getting started. But the church at Philippi, which was one of the churches he had started on the second missionary journey, the church at Philippi actually became one of his supporting churches. So the financial program of the New Testament pattern is that local churches should support the missionaries. Now, was the church at Philippi supporting a missionary that they didn't know? No. Were they supporting a missionary they'd never met? No. They were supporting a missionary that they knew personally and that they knew and had approved as a local church in giving their tithes and offerings to. Because, you know, it's important to know that whoever you're giving God's money to believes like you believe. And that's, again, a big problem with a cooperative program. You see in the next column there, under finances, the cooperative program pays the salary and benefits directly to the missionary. No direct contact exists between the churches and the missionaries. This is the point that Brother Jim was making a moment ago, that the churches, you know, they don't even know who all the 3,000 or so missionaries are that are part of the Southern Baptist Convention's cooperative program. They've certainly never met them all. If they've met any of them, they don't know who they are, what they believe, and so the cooperative program would say, well, that's the job of the International Mission Board, to make sure that each of the missionaries subscribes to the doctrinal beliefs that we subscribe to. The only problem with that is that, you may already know this, within the Southern Baptist Convention for the last 100 years, there is an ongoing battle and feud between churches that are on one side and churches that are on the other side. Some that consider themselves very conservative, even fundamental like you and I do. But there are also churches in the Southern Baptist Convention that consider themselves very liberal theologically. There are some Southern Baptist churches that believe in Arminianism when it comes to salvation. There are others that are hyper-Calvinist when it comes to what they believe about how a person gets saved. So you have a great disparity there. Well, as a local church, the money that you and I give and put in those offering plates, we are accountable for what we do with God's money. It goes back to that word we talked about in the book of Genesis, stewardship. We're stewards of what God has given to us. We're not supposed to just take up a collection and send it to whoever wants money. Now, we have an obligation as a local church to make sure that those to whom we're sending God's money believe like this book believes, or at least like we believe this book believes. And if this, if the missionary doesn't believe what our church believes, we ought not be sending money that people in Pinnacle Baptist Church have given for the work of God. And so in the cooperative program, Southern Baptists end up supporting missionaries that don't even believe what their church believes. And I'm going to give you one extreme example, but it's an actual example. Several years ago, I don't have the date in front of me, I've given it to you before. Several years ago, the International Mission Board changed their policy that had been in place for 150 years and began to allow missionaries to receive support from the cooperative program even if they believe in speaking in tongues. Baptist churches don't believe in speaking in tongues. True Baptist churches don't. But there are some liberal, charismatic Southern Baptist churches that do believe in speaking in tongues. And so now, even if there was only one missionary in the cooperative program who believed in speaking in tongues, that means that every single church, TR, in the entire Southern Baptist Convention that sends money to the cooperative program, they are paying to support a missionary on a foreign field who believes it's okay to speak in tongues and believes it's okay to tell others they should speak in tongues. Now, I don't know about you, but that wouldn't sit very well with me, knowing that my missions money that I'm given for the work of God is being sent to somebody that's teaching and preaching something that our church sure don't believe in, the preacher don't believe in, and is antithetical to what we say this book stands for. But every Southern Baptist person, member, and church that sends money to the cooperative program today is giving money to missionaries who believe in speaking in tongues. They're also giving money to Southern Baptist missionaries, like I said, who believe in Arminianism, believe that you can lose your salvation. There are some of them out there. So there are problems here with the way the finances are handled if you just pool all your money together and let somebody else decide who you're going to give it to. The local church is supposed to be responsible. You see, what they've done is they've cut out the local church. So then, how do we do it as an independent Baptist church? Under finances, you see there, local churches are visited personally by the missionary during deputation to gain their support. And the church supports the missionary with missions offerings. So, independent Baptists are sometimes criticized for having our missionaries go around to raise support on deputation before they go to the field. Here's the way it happens. If you're a Southern Baptist and you feel called by God to missions, you go through the application process with the International Mission Board of the Cooperative Program. If the International Mission Board approves you, you automatically receive a full salary, full benefits, which it's a pretty nice, I looked at it this week, it's a pretty nice benefit package, by the way, Brother Bob. You get your salary, your benefits, all of that paid in full the day you become a missionary with the Southern Baptist Convention. And it'll stay that way until you retire, and then they have a retirement program, and all that goes through the International Mission Board too. The missionary then just goes straight onto the field. And so the Southern Baptists say, well, see, they're not having to waste time going around to churches to raise support before they go to the field. They can just, once they're approved, they get their training done, and they go right to the field. It saves about a year, maybe even 2 years of spending time on deputation raising support. The only problem with that is what we just said. The churches don't know the missionaries they're sending their money to. And in some cases, those missionaries don't believe like the churches believe that are sending their money. So why do we do it differently, and how do we do it? In an independent Baptist church, a missionary that feels like he's called by God, He's going to be approved by his local church, not a mission board, to make sure that the church has examined him, that he is called by God. He is qualified scripturally to pastor a church. I could use some water. Yes, sir. You can use this same cup, Brother Alex. We don't need to get another one. I sure appreciate that. Thank you. But then that missionary begins to go around to other independent Baptist churches and present the burden that God has put on his or her heart. And by the way, there are ladies that go as missionaries too. Most of them are married ladies. I know personally some young ladies that surrendered to missions that weren't even married. In fact, have never been married and have served helping on the foreign field in orphanages, even starting orphanages, or helping couples on the foreign field that have planted churches. But the missionary then goes around to other independent Baptist churches, shares the burden that God has placed on their heart for their field. Thank you, Brother Alex. And then the churches examine the missionary. We're going to have some missionaries here next week that you've never met before, that I've never met in person before, though I've spoken to them on the phone. And you and I will have an opportunity to meet those actual real-life missionaries in person, face-to-face. We're going to have a meal with them Saturday night. They're going to be here Saturday evening for our service. They're going to be here Sunday morning for the service. You and I get to not only meet them and learn about them and who they are, but you will have the opportunity to do the same thing the pastor will have the opportunity to do. Ask them questions. If you have concerns or questions about what they believe, ask them a question about it. Same thing the preacher can do. You as a church member have the opportunity to do that. And so the church is supposed to know who it is they're sending their missions money to each month. So independent Baptist missionaries go around, and once they get enough independent Baptist churches that are willing to support them for X amount each month, when they get enough to support them on the whatever the foreign field is they're going to, then they go finish up whatever training they haven't finished, and they go on to the field. Southern Baptists criticize independent Baptists for making our missionaries spend 1 to 2 years, which is usually the amount of time on deputation, raising support before they go. But why do we do it that way? We do it that way because the churches are supposed to know the missionaries they're supporting. Not only are you and I supposed to be stewards of God's money that we're sending to missionaries, but don't you reckon you and I are going to do a lot better job praying for the missionaries if we've met them before? We know them before? I pray for Brother Jonathan Anderson down in Mexico, I guess probably more than any of our other missionaries, though I love all of our missionaries. But it's because I've met him in person more times than our other missionaries. He's been here with us more times, all the way back to when we first started over in Locust Grove. But if you know a missionary, you've met him actually in person, you're a lot more likely to pray for him on a regular basis in addition to sending money to help them. That's why we do it the way we do it as independent Baptists. Because, in all honesty, it's the biblical way to do it. We're not supposed to be sending money to people that we don't know as a church. The next one, the primary work. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, the primary work of the missionary in the book of Acts was starting local churches. We call it church planting. The primary work of missions is church planting. That is going into an area, getting people saved, baptizing them, and starting indigenous Baptist churches. What does the word indigenous mean? It means a native. So in other words, we're supposed to start churches that are native to whatever area the missionary goes to. We're not trying to start an American church in New Guinea, Papua New Guinea. We're trying to start a New Guinea Baptist church. Those people are not us, and we're not them. The missionary's job is to win souls, baptize them, teach them and train them, and start a local church right there on the spot. Church planting. planting is supposed to be the primary work of missions. In Acts chapter 14, verses 26 and 27, Acts 14, verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So what did Paul do on his missionary journeys after he started local churches? Well, he ordained national pastors and then turned the work over to them, and he went on his way. That's what missionaries are supposed to do. Start local churches, train national pastors, and turn over the work. The primary work of the missionary is church planting. Why? Because, you know, the real end thing to do now among Southern Baptists and a lot of other Christian denominations is to just go hold these big, great revival crusades in places around the world, especially in Africa right now. And they'll go have evangelistic crusades, and that's all well and good, but the purpose is to then start local churches, plant local churches, because we're not just supposed to go win people to the Lord and then walk away from them. We're supposed to go win them to the Lord and organize them into a church that continues on after the missionary is gone, has a life of its own that can then train others and win others. Unfortunately, in the Southern Baptist Convention, the number of missionaries and missions projects that are actually involved with planting churches has decreased over the years. I do not have the exact percentage with me at this moment, but Southern Baptist Missions has moved drastically away from church planting. And now the cooperative program does a whole lot of other things, both on their home mission board and their international mission board, that's really not church planting. It might be soup kitchens. It might be clothes closets. It might be putting roofs on people's houses. It might be evangelistic crusades. A lot of other things, and they might be all well and good, but they're not church planting. And that's what the primary purpose of missions is planting local churches. As independent Baptist, I put down that church planting comprises more than 95% of independent Baptist missions. The reality is it's probably closer to 99%. Almost every independent Baptist missionary you will find is going specifically to plant churches wherever the field is God's led that missionary. Now, I have, as I said, I knew a young lady that I grew up with. She went to Mexico and worked together with another missionary couple that was already on the field, and she started two different orphanages there in Mexico. I knew a man that I went to church with his family when I was much younger, who was a medical missionary in Brazil. Dr. Jack Sorg was a doctor, and he worked in conjunction with the church planting missionaries in the area where they were working. They were planting churches, and he was working as a doctor because people would come to him for free medical care, and then he would help get them into the church that was being planted right there in their area. But most missions among independent Baptist missionaries is church planting, which is what the biblical model is. Next point on our paper here is reporting. After the missionary goes to the field and they do the work of the Lord, they're supposed to come home and they're supposed to report back to their sending church and all of their supporting churches and let them know what God has been doing. Number one, that gets us fired up to see what God's doing through our missionaries on the field. It makes us want to do the same thing right here at home, hopefully. But number two, it brings accountability back to the local church because the missionary is supposed to be accountable to the local church. Preacher, why does the missionary have to be accountable to the local church? What's wrong with him being accountable to the mission board? Well, he could be accountable to a mission board, but he's also got to be accountable to the local churches that are sending and supporting him, because that's who God says he's supposed to be accountable to. It is the local church to whom God gave the authority to do the work of the ministry and perform the Great Commission. Not a mission board, the local church. And again, the Southern Baptist Convention kind of cuts the local church out of that. They say, well, the International Mission Board oversees the missionaries, so the local churches don't have to do that. They couldn't oversee 3,000 missionaries. Well, again, it's because they're following an unbiblical model in the first place. So because they're doing this wrong, that's the reason they have to do this wrong. In reality, the local church, whether it's the sending church or the supporting church, is supposed to make sure and hold accountable the missionaries that are receiving their missions money. There's literally no way that Southern Baptist missionaries, when they come home, could get around to all the Southern Baptist churches that they get money from. There are about 15,000, I think, Southern Baptist churches across the country. The missionaries, if they're home for even a whole year at the time, they can't get around to all those churches. And the reality is, most of them don't get around to many churches. But independent Baptist missionaries have to do that. They have to report regularly to their sending church and their supporting churches. That's why we get missionary prayer letters from our missionaries while they're on the field, letting us know what's going on there. And then when they come home, they come back by here and they visit with us again and report back to us in person what God's been doing. The church is holding them accountable for what they're doing with God's money. And it gets us fired up to be doing the same thing right here at home when we see what God is doing on the foreign field. All right, I don't have a lot of time. I'm going to briefly go through these last two points. Then the missionary, when he's been on the field for a term, he comes home for a furlough. On your handout there, it says missionaries. The missionaries abode a long time at their home church before returning to the field. That's Acts 14:28. Paul and Barnabas came home, they reported back, and then they took a break and stayed a while. Got their batteries recharged. Full-time Southern Baptist missionaries serve terms of 2 to 4 years. Then they come home for a furlough of anywhere from 3 to 12 months. Most independent Baptist missionaries do it the way that Southern Baptists used to do it. They serve on the field for a period of 4 years, then they come home and have a one-year furlough. Does that mean they're just sitting back, relaxing, and drinking tea and watching Andy Griffith for a year? No. They're independent Baptist missionaries are going around to their supporting churches that year that they're home, giving in-person reports of what God has done. And then finally, the missionary is supposed to return to the field to check on the existing churches they've started and to plant new ones, Acts 15:36. I want to encourage you to read the summary at the bottom of that page, but take this home, and it's a good outline of how we support missionaries, why we support missionaries the way we do, and why we don't do it the Southern Baptist way, even though the preacher grew up a Southern Baptist, and some of you did too. There's a reason we're not Southern Baptist. One of those reasons is for doctrinal reasons. The second reason is for missions reasons. You ought to know why we're an independent Baptist church and why, as an independent Baptist church, we do things the way we do in supporting missionaries. Does anybody have any questions before we end Sunday school? Brother Mitch?